I just wanted to share this passage and sort through it together, talk through it together this morning with you. Sam mentioned that you guys are close to being in your in the other room there, which will be nice. It was hard to find a seat this morning coming in, and so it's certainly nice to be in there, easier to find a seat. And then you're kind of going more public too, right? Like you can actually invite people to church for, you know, you've been here for a year and you're kind of like antsy. Let's get people into our building. Let's get them to come worship with us and to experience a worship service with us. And I'm sure you're eager to do that. And so let's read, though, in Ephesians 6. We're going to read verses 10 through 20 this morning. And we'll ask for the Lord's help after we read these verses. The Apostle Paul writes, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." If there's a title that I would give this message, it would be "Stand Strong" this morning. There's that word that comes to mind several times the Apostle Paul uses. And in Christ Church, I want to encourage you to stand strong, and let's pray and ask for God's help in understanding these words to help us to do that. God, thank you for the opportunity that we have as your children to gather together and hear words from our Heavenly Father. Lord, thank you that you are a Father that speaks to us, that communicates to us, that you reveal your heart for us through these words, and you help guide us through these words. And so this morning, God, would we come to understand your heart for us and direction that you might have for us through this passage. Lord, may you use this morning to strengthen the confidence and faith of Christ Church and a sovereign, powerful God so that they may stand firm. So Lord, I ask for your help. I ask that you might help me to fill me with your Spirit to speak these words clearly and helpfully to these friends. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, Paul ends this passage with this word. He says he's an ambassador in chains. Paul uses this word ambassador also in 2 Corinthians 5, where he talks about being an ambassador for Christ. And an ambassador, presbuo, so the Presbyterians, presbuo is the Greek word here for ambassador, and it kind of means like older man, and somebody that's older in life, seasoned, and but they have some sense of authority, but their authority is not their own. Their authority is given to them by another, by the highest authority of the land that they live in. And so as Christians, when we think about this term, our authority is God, the highest, the King of all kings. His name is Jesus. We sang to him this morning. But we are his ambassadors, and we've been entrusted with an assignment as an ambassador to go on behalf of God, representing him, to tell other people about who he is and his agenda for us. So I want to start with a question this morning. When you think about, if that's the definition of an ambassador, and you think about an ambassador of Jesus, somebody who's represented him faithfully and that has faithfully shared the good news of Jesus Christ with others, who comes to mind? And go ahead and talk about your answers together. So I'm going to just give you a couple seconds, minutes, and on the count of three, go ahead and turn to your neighbor and say, hey, who do you know that is a great ambassador of Jesus Christ? Who comes to mind for you? So on the count of three, go ahead and do that. One, two, three. Go ahead. Include somebody in. If you're not close to somebody, include them in. Who's an ambassador of Jesus? Who represents him? Everybody getting time to answer? All right. So what are some of the answers that you came up with? Kevin Hunt. All right. Anybody know Kevin Hunt? So the modern day St. Patrick. So Kevin Hunt is Irish, and he sounds still Irish. So your wife. Great. Awesome. So your mother. Okay. Great. Anybody else? Jeff, yeah. Jeff would be a great example. Dan Pilla. Yeah, Dan Pilla is a member of Sovereign Grace Church. He's teaching, or he taught this morning, the fourth week in the Proclaim class. So helping our church grow and share in the gospel. Dante, all right. So Dante is getting a shout out. Anybody else that comes to mind for you? Jeff's dad, Warren. Okay. Good. Anybody famous? Sam Cardillo, nice. anybody else famous? Did anybody say somebody famous? That Billy Graham. All right. Anybody say Billy Graham? So a couple people. All right. Greg Laurie. Yeah, Greg Laurie would be from California. He's done some teachings out here on the East Coast and throughout the country. Corey Ten Boom. Okay. Ian McConnell, okay, pastor up in Northeast Philly. Tim Shorey. Good. Great. Good answers. And so when we think about ambassador, you guys have all mentioned people that they represent Christ and share Christ with others. And Paul here, he says, pray for me because I'm an ambassador. But it's just not a prayer for Paul. He's not the only ambassador of Jesus Christ. But we are as well. If you have your Bibles with you, turn back real quickly to 2 Corinthians 5:20. I know I've said this verse, but I want to share it with you too. Because this is where Paul, in the first person, refers to him as an ambassador. But here in 2 Corinthians, he writes to the Ephesian church, not just saying, hey, I'm an ambassador, but hey, we're ambassadors together. So I just want to make sure that's clear for us. In verse 20 of chapter 5 in 2 Corinthians, it says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Do you see any similarity there in some of the language? He's talking about, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. If you go back to Ephesians 6, Paul is praying, I'm an ambassador. What does an ambassador do? An ambassador proclaims a message. An ambassador asks for help to open their mouth to share a message. Part of what an ambassador does is they verbally share about Jesus Christ. For you, Christ Church, that are here as part of this church plant, that's why you've come to Philadelphia. You've come to live out Christianity before others, but also to open your mouth, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, the mystery of Christ. That's what this church is about. Now, many could look into the history of this church so far and be tempted to be discouraged. How has that been happening when the lead pastor has been taken out of the game through health challenges? How has that been happening when you can't even invite somebody to your church service because the building's not big enough? And you have all of these obstacles. You see, I'm starting at the end because this is the goal. This is why you're here. This is why you have this plant team. But let's go back to Ephesians 6:10 and talk about some of these obstacles and give some biblical framework to what we're encountering. Because it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might points us to God. But it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. I'm not a person that often thinks about spiritual warfare and thinking about, you know, Satan and God fighting in a wrestling ring or anything like that. I don't think about this spiritual war a lot and pray about it a lot. But there's a reality that it exists, and we have that reality for us here. There, it says there's schemes of the devil. In verse 12, it says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. From our perspective, there's a lot of flesh and blood analogies and circumstances of Jeff's health being taken out of leading you guys for, you know, many weeks. Flesh and blood that have passed away just yesterday, and Jeff's not here. There's flesh and blood examples of that you maybe have personally interacted with, trying to sell a home and move into Philadelphia to be part of this church. Maybe your own flesh and blood circumstances that have been tempting to take you out of the game to be part of this church plant. And so many of you personally, and so maybe you moved, you were able to move into Philadelphia eventually. The Beatties are finally here. But everybody's here now. Is that correct? Everybody's in. All right. Just want to make sure. I don't want to be discouraging that one person that's not in yet. But maybe you're in. You're like, I'm in, but it's horrible. Like who I'm living next door to is just, it's crazy. It's a soap opera. And it's not something that you imagined or pictured. It's not the fairy tale fantasy of church planting that, hey, we're going to bring the hope of Jesus Christ to Philadelphia. And now you feel hopeless. In certain circumstances that you might find yourself in. You know, there's flesh and blood examples that all of us have, but it says we don't wrestle with these things. This isn't the war that you fight. Even to get into this building, okay, so let's talk about the flesh and blood getting into the building here. What are they called? Ordinances or certificates of occupancy, different approvals that you need to have to do certain things in the building. That hasn't been easy for you, has it? Your prayer was to be in by Easter, and God's going to answer that prayer, but for 2015, not for 2014, right? You prayed that for 2014. A year later, you can think, man, what in the world is going on? Flesh and blood is failing in so many ways. But I want to tell you, Christ Church, the war that you have is not flesh and blood. Those aren't your problems. Those aren't your circumstances. This is what the scripture says. But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil. There's a reality that there are spiritual forces of evil that we all face. We don't talk about them a lot. We don't think about them a lot because I think God wants us to focus on Him and His greatness and His glory. But there's a reality to when we face hard circumstances, when things get derailed, to launch a church, that it's helpful for us to know, you know what, there is a battle going on that you're a part of. Somebody doesn't want you here in this facility. Somebody didn't want you to move into Philadelphia with the purpose of proclaiming good news. And they have some serious authority. They have some power that they wield in this world. And we need to be mindful of that and see that, hey, what we're a part of here at Christ Church is bigger than flesh and blood, but there's a spiritual warfare that we are a part of. And you know what? And you're going to continue to face it. You're still not in there yet, in the big room. You're still not bringing people in. And even when that comes, there's still going to be a spiritual war that we all are part of. And so this is how you are to engage that spiritual war, though. You don't have to be scared by it. Don't be intimidated by it. There's realities there. There's a spiritual war for all of us, even personally, just relating to God. You know, some days we wake up and we don't even want to open our Bible or pray to God. That's a real war, just personally. This warfare it's all over the place. It's not just about a church moving into a building. It could be about a Christian trying to get out of their bed in the morning and say that God is good because Jesus was sent to die on the cross for my sins. And here are the weapons, though, that you have to stand, to get out of bed, to get up and come to church, to stand strong. Because it says, don't be stuck there. Don't be stuck thinking about the evil and the devil that against flesh and blood. But think about these things in verse 13. It says, take up the whole armor of God. I'm not going to walk us through every detail here, but Christians, this morning, you have armor. You have something in your hands this morning in this spiritual war that you are tempted to discouragement. You could be tempted to say, what in the world is God doing in all of this? This doesn't make any sense. We should have been further along by now. But it says, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. If you look at these verses here, you see a couple things. You see, well, how does this evil or enemy, if we're talking about this spiritual war, you know, there's an enemy and then there's God who's for us. What is the enemy's weapon? If you look at these verses, what's really encouraged for the Christian, there's really only one thing that's mentioned for the enemy, and there's a whole host of things listed for us as Christians. There's one thing that it says the enemy has, and it says flaming darts. I don't presume to understand fully what flaming darts means, but I know enough about the Christian life. The way the enemy affects me is through my thinking, is through how I think about my flesh and blood circumstances. It's not my flesh and blood circumstances, because the flesh and blood circumstances are providentially ordained by God for your good. And we know that because the Bible teaches that. But there are flaming darts, and those flaming darts are thoughts and questions that can enter our mind. You know, shouldn't you be further along by now? You know, if it was this hard to get into Philadelphia, maybe I shouldn't have been here in the first place. You know, maybe questions like that. Have you had any of those questions through the journey of the last year of moving into Philadelphia? Any challenges where you had those thoughts and questions? And sometimes we should weigh them, but sometimes I think the enemy, his darts are to use them to discourage us, to keep us from standing, because we're called to stand firm, and to knock us down and to take us out of the game. But that, I think, is the one weapon that the enemy has. But we have a host of weapons. We have the gospel of peace that it talks about in there, the gospel of good news of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. We should never be discouraged when we start at the cross, when we see what Christ has done for us. We have a helmet of salvation. We have a breastplate of righteousness that has been lived out for us through Jesus Christ, who is perfectly righteous. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You see, we have a better word for salvation that we can trust in Jesus Christ, but we also have a better word, which are the words of God that can counter those words and those darts from the enemy. So the words of God are the words that will sustain us. See, part of how we stand strong is their words. The words in two directions. The first is words directed to us. And so God speaking to us, he speaks to us through the Bible. And so how often are we using these words to combat some of the fiery darts that are coming at us? And so as we think about different circumstances, and even as we think about the most recent one of Jeff, you know, his father-in-law, Russ, Sam called him a stepdad to Angie. Sometimes you can wonder, well, stepdad, what was that relationship really like? Was he really loved? He was loved deeply. He was a really generous man. He's been very generous and loving to Angie through much of her childhood, and then also to Jeff and Angie as a married couple and now parents. Russ has been he's been essentially a dad in their life. And so he's not some stepdad who is the boyfriend of Angie's mom. And so when they hear that news, week or 2 weeks, 3 weeks, however long it's going to be before you're in that building, that can be discouraging to them as your lead pastors. And yet God wants to speak these words to them too, to stand firm. He wants you to encourage them. Stand firm. We're with you guys still. We're behind you. We're in this as a church family. And I know that you would share that anyway with them. But those are the circumstances that they face, And so the word of God speaks to these truths. The word says that God works all things for good, for the good of those who love him. God's going to work in that family somehow. He's going to do things in that family. God's going to work somehow in this church and strengthen this church and strengthen your lead pastor and his wife as they lead this church to the next step of really going public and launching you all. See, God's word is a better word than the darts of the enemy. And so this morning, what are you more aware of? Are you more aware of in your life personally some of the fiery darts that are causing you to question God and his goodness to you? Are you more aware of God's word? The word, the sword of the Spirit. Hebrews 4 talks about that sword being a double-edged sword, being strong. You know, I just think of darts as compared to a sword. You know, darts are very ineffective compared to the strength of a double-edged sword. Christians, that's what we have. And the encouragement question is that what we're opening? And when we have fiery darts coming our way. But then there's other words in another direction in verse 18. It's words that says, we pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. And to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for the saints. Three times there, the Apostle Paul talks about words to God. So it's not just us hearing God's words, but it's us also speaking words to God. Supplication is another word for prayer. Prayers there. And so are our prayers seeking to reflect God's words to us and having faith, asking God for faith for the fiery darts that come our way, for faith to trust him in the flesh and blood circumstances that he's ordained for us. And I wanted to close our time of teaching. You're going to have communion in a second, but I did just want to have a time where we just pray together and just pray in light of all that's going on and pray and offer prayers of supplication this morning, praying for Jeff and for Angie as their friends, praying for this church, and coming back to the end here where the purpose of us being here is to be ambassadors for Christ. Lord, don't derail us from this purpose. It's part of our identity. We are ambassadors. We're to represent a higher authority. I mean, you guys are ambassadors. When you go back to that passage in Corinthians, part of an ambassador is they deny themselves and they don't live for themselves anymore, but they live for the one who saved them. You guys have done that. You've denied yourselves by losing money in some cases to sell your homes in New Jersey to move over to Philadelphia. You've denied yourselves of certain things to come to Philadelphia to be ambassador for Christ. Don't be derailed by the flesh and blood circumstances of this present evil age that we live in. It just has fiery little darts, like Nerf gun darts, versus the sword of the Spirit that we have as Christians. And stand firm. And you can do that by hearing God's words and also praying words to God. That's the simple exhortation. I hesitate to even call this a message this morning. That's a simple exhortation that I want to bring to you this morning and to encourage you with and continuing to stand firm and be an ambassador for Jesus Christ here in Philadelphia. Know that you're loved and you're supported by your family in Marlton, New Jersey, Sovereign Grace Church. And other Christians within the Sovereign Grace family of churches and even your friends and family that are here. And we're praying for you. And I want you to pray right now just to offer up prayers of supplication all times in the Spirit that God would help you to wage this war. It will might continue to be a challenge for some of you. Maybe you're not experiencing challenges. Maybe it feels great. You're still riding the wave of this is just awesome. Being at Christ Church, and that's great. I hope you continue to ride that wave all of life. But there is a reality of this spiritual darkness, this spiritually dark age. And so let's just take some time to pray this morning and to pray. And this is specific ways that you can pray. Pray for Jeff and Angie and their family and things that are going on right now. Pray that this church wouldn't be derailed from the purpose of being ambassadors for Christ. And pray that God would use you not to be a church of addition, but a church of multiplication. That's Jeff's vision for Christ Church. Not for people just to be come here and be added, but this church would multiply and there would be other churches started in Philadelphia through Christ Church. And so as you pray to be ambassadors of Christ, that it would be an ambassadorial role of multiplication, not just addition. Addition is setting our sights low. But of multiplication and seeing the kingdom of God expanded in Philadelphia, many people hearing the good news of Jesus Christ and finding hope and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And so let's just go ahead and we'll break into groups of about three or four people. If you're not comfortable praying, if you don't know who you're sitting around, you can pray quietly. But if you're comfortable praying, just go ahead and start praying. We'll just have about a couple minutes of prayer, and then Steve will come close us in prayer and lead us in taking the Lord's Supper together. So let me just go ahead and close my time in prayer, and then you guys can go ahead and close in your groups. God, I thank you for your words that encourage us to stand strong. But Lord, we can do that only through Jesus Christ, only through the armor which you've provided, through being able to know and live for you because of Jesus Christ and how he lived for us, how he died in our place, and how he's been raised from the dead so that we too might be raised to new life in you. And so, God, thank you for that message of hope. It's the mystery of the gospel. It's not mysterious to us anymore because you've opened our eyes to that. And so may we rejoice and celebrate in that this morning. And may you encourage us this morning to continue to proclaim that and to be ambassadors that make that known. No matter what flesh and blood circumstances we encounter, no matter what fiery darts we have, Lord, may you fill us with your Spirit to take the sword of the Spirit and all the armor that you give us as Christians, and to wield off those darts, to not be discouraged by the flesh and blood examples that we all face, and that we may be able to stand strong, finding hope in Jesus Christ and sharing that hope with others as his ambassadors. I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let's go ahead and pray together.